This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Make real changes today. This is Flipping the Switch with Suze Casey.
Hi, and welcome to Flipping the Switch. I'm Suze Casey, and I am delighted to be your host for this next hour on Contact Talk Radio. We are really excited today. We've got an interesting topic that I think everyone, well, I know everyone can identify with, and that is, what is it about the story? What is it about the story? We are storytelling individuals. Every one of us, we love stories. We get enchanted by stories. As little kids, we like to get stories told to us. It's how we learn. It's one of the ways that, you know, folklore and religion and belief systems are passed from generation to generation is from the stories we tell. So what is it about the story is what our topic is today. And so we're going to be looking at stories from both sides of the line, those that support us and those that do not support us. And today is a pre-record because, as you know from listening to Contact Talk Radio this week, the studio is on a really well-deserved holiday. And so I'm hoping that they are out enjoying the sunshine and getting some much-deserved rest. They do an awesome job of bringing great information to lots of people in an easy, easy way. You know, if you just stop and think about, you get internet radio, it's like complimentary, great information, and the people that put that together, Contact Talk Radio. So giving them a big shout out today and wishing them a wonderful holiday. And I'm here with a friend of mine, Brenda Holden. She was on with me 2 weeks ago. You may remember she's a practitioner from Invermere, British Columbia, which is the province on the very left side of Canada, on the west side of Canada. But she's on the inner part of that province, just kind of hugging the other side of the Rocky Mountains. And I always delight in going to Invermere and coming back because I drive from the eastern side slopes of the Rockies to the western slopes of the Rockies. It's a stunningly beautiful drive between her house and mine. But that's not what makes us friends. What makes us friends is that we have shared many stories with each other, stories where we learn to sort things out, stories where we use to kind of get things off our chests, stories that we tell to create something, stories that we tell to, you know, get a bond with each other, that, you know, something that you find out about another person. We as human beings use stories for all kinds of things. And so Brent and I decided that we would tackle the subject, what is it about the story? If you've got questions or comments, the best thing to do with them to this time, this week, because we're on a pre-record, is send an email to office@belief-repatterning.com or find us on Facebook, Suze Casey, S-U-Z-E, Casey, C-A-S-E-Y. I have two pages. One is the one about my grandbabies, and the other one is the one about me as an author. And you can tell because the picture of me, I'm more dressed up in my professional page. And that's where you should post the question because that's where I'll answer it. Brenda, they can find you on Facebook at Belief Repatterning Brenda Holden Practitioner. Belief Repatterning Brenda Holden Practitioner. So there you go. So welcome, Brenda. Thanks so much for joining me again this week. For what is it about the story? You've learned it. Now live it. You've read the books and studied the theories, but the practical application is hanging you up. Are you tired of beating yourself up for not living what you know to be true? This is Suze Casey, and I invite you to integrate your learning through easy-to-practice exercise
found in my book, Belief Repatterning, the amazing technique for flipping the switch to positive thought. It's available through hayhouse.com or your local bookstore. Hi, this is Suze Casey, and I'm passionate about helping people flip the switch to positive thoughts. And through Belief Repatterning, I'll support you. I invite you to sign up for my newsletter on suzecasey.com. That's SUZECASEY.com. You can also order an autographed copy of Belief Repatterning, find out about individualized coaching with me, or join one of my online courses. Know you can and will repattern anything you choose. SuzeCasey.com. My gran used to say, a penny for your thoughts. And you know that a mindful daily practice is effective, but who has the time? What if there was a simple, practical, and profound way to focus your subconscious mind? 365 Repattern is an app that sends you a focus word and a positive thought every day, 365 days. Based on my book, Belief Repatterning, the amazing technique for flipping the switch to positive thoughts, 365 Repattern, you can get it at your app store, Android or iPhone. Your thoughts are worth it, and I'm Suze Casey reminding you.
Make real changes today. This is Flipping the Switch with Suze Casey.
Well, I think, you know, we all tell stories, and in our lives, those stories either move us forward or keep us in a place we may choose to no longer be.
Or they can dig us into a deeper hole.
Or dig us into a much deeper hole.
I've had a story or two that have done that for me.
Yeah.
So a story's always going to move us somewhere.
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned fairy tales, and when we were kids, the story took us to a place of possibility. So when the story is taking us to a place of possibility, it's something that's opening our lives and opening opportunities to us. And when we decide that for a little bit of time, we're going to stay in that crazy making place, and why did this happen to me? And why does this always happen? It's happened again. We're telling that type of a story. It's spinning us deeper and deeper into the pit.
So we have the Eeyore stories. Oh, poor me. Why does this always happen to me? And we have the princess stories, or the magic dragon flying stories, or the Peter Pan, or the possibility, like all kinds of, and everything in between. Well, we had a really interesting story yesterday, and you did me a huge favor and went to my local UPS store. And I had been frustrated for a long time with them, and I've been telling stories about my UPS store for some time to you and sharing them with you as another business owner. And you said something as I was kind of launching into yet another UPS story that I thought was really, really kind and helpful. So, you know, maybe just share that with the listeners. You know, this has been an ongoing saga that's been going on for like 18 months. And so it was like chapter next in the saga. And I actually had come to a new place of decision, but I was kind of winding the story back to the beginning.
And it was like, okay, are you done with this? You know, what would you like to do next?
And you did a really, you know, the way that you approached it, I remember you saying, you've shared this with me. You know, not shut up, I've heard that too many times. Which may have been where you were feeling, although you're way kinder than that.
I was feeling
but it
that.
Was like, you know, what happens next? You've shared this with me. What happens next? And, you know, if you think about when you're a little kid listening to a story, it's like, I already know that part. Come on and tell me the new piece. You know, and it's that same kind of delighted anticipation. And we can use that when we're with friends who are like winding into the same, you know, same song, same chapter, same verse, everything's going on. It's like, you know, I've been hearing you talk about this. What happens next? Can we turn the page on the story? And you can use the analogy, you know, it works really, really well. So thank you for that yesterday.
You're welcome. I remember meeting when I met you and you were talking about our friend Kathleen. And you were saying that the deal that you made with Kathleen for when you were in that sort of a space, and the phone call and her question, was she putting the kettle on? So it was very interesting the first time I met her to understand and appreciate the role that a friend plays when they just listen to us, but only for a short period of time. So
right.
explain how that process works.
Absolutely. It's one of the Try This On practices that's in the book. And the book that we're referring to is the book that I wrote called Belief Repatterning, The Amazing Technique for Flipping the Switch to Positive Thoughts. It was published by Hay House. It's widely available. You can get Kobo or Kindle editions in your local bookstore. And I always like to make a shout out for independent bookstores. Not that there's anything wrong with the big bookstores, but they don't need my shout out. The independents do. So if they don't have it in stock, they can get it quite easily. It is all the major distributors have it because it's with Hay House. And so they can get it in, or you can get it online yourself. So I do tell the story. I can't remember what page it's on now, but I do tell this story about setting a timer. And I began doing it with myself because I realized that every moment I spent in frustration or anger was a moment I lost to being joyful or calm or peaceful, and that I wasn't going to get that moment back again. And so when I'm kind of embarrassed to say, when I first began, and probably when I first met you and was teaching the work, I was, sort of setting the timer for 15 minutes or a half hour or something, was I?
I don't think we were ever past 10, so you were well along by the time.
But when I first began, here's the confession part. When I first began doing this, I would set it for like an hour. I'm going to be upset for an hour because that felt a whole lot better than all day or all week or all year or all decade, And I would just kind of rant on it. And what I found is that I was needing less and less and less time. And so, I suggest to listeners, people have been listening for a while, I've heard this before, but set a timer on it. We've all got these wonderful little phones. And if you don't have a phone, there's a microwave that's got a timer on it, or your kitchen clock. I mean, I've been doing this for so long. I was doing it on the kitchen clock, and I'd put it on the oven, and then I'd stand in the kitchen and do my rant. And then I'd end up laughing at myself usually, because I kind of ran out of steam before I ran out of time. And that's when I began shortening it up. And so the story that you're talking about with Kathleen, I do tell in the book. And that is, I used to say, put on the kettle meant I'm just coming over for tea. But if I phoned and said I'm coming for tea and I didn't say put on the kettle, she'd say, should I put on the kettle? I'd say, no, wait till I get there. That meant I had, from the time I got to the door until we walked into the kitchen, filled the kettle, plugged the kettle in, and the kettle boiled, to vent and let go of the stuff that was bugging me. And tell the story about, can you believe what happened? And then as soon as the kettle boiled, it was time to relax, have the cup of tea, and move into solution seeking. So, we do need to be heard as human beings, and we do, but most of us know that place where the friend has gone on just way too long, and we don't know how to pull them out of the pit.
Well, and I think that's where the concept of the timer really feels good to me, is because there's an agreement there that that's how long it's going to be. And then it's my job as a supportive assisting friend just to say, time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love you so much, and you're hurting yourself now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, and I'd like your part about the agreed upon. Do you want to expand on that?
Well, I don't think that I would try this with my 3-year-old when they are in full rant and we haven't agreed beforehand that, how do they feel when they finished, when they've carried on crying for an hour versus, okay, I know you're upset, so let's get the upset out. Let's agree right now, when we're in a happy place, that when I go to that place that I'm so upset, that it's only helpful for me to be upset for this amount of time. And then the best thing we can do is take a time to take a breath and move to the other side.
Absolutely.
That's helpful.
Absolutely. And when you say, my 3-year-old, are we talking about a 3-year-old that you know personally, or the 3-year-old within, or the 3-year-old that's maybe disguised as your partner across the table, or the 3-year-old?
All of the above. The 3-year-old that I can be.
Yeah.
My 4-year-old's pretty good, but my 3-year-old was pretty pouty.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I have a schwack of grandkids, as you know, and many people who listen to the show know, I have 6 grandkids, now 7 and under, because the eldest just turned 7, but the youngest is 2. And oftentimes the group of them are together. And my daughter was saying how interesting it is. She said that his, quote unquote, terrible 2 frustration place is very different than the other kids, because he has more language because of the older kids. And he sees the modeling of them kind of talking through things and doing things in a way that's effective, that he's kind of not doing the terrible 2 rant thing. And I'm like, I can hardly wait till this kid grows up to see if he has one of those 2-year-olds or not, or if he maybe is just you know, evolved past it by conscious, you know, choosing your words and knowing what you really want to say. And that storytelling place, it's a really important part of who we are. But those stories, as we said at the top, can be in all different places.
Well, and they get created from a different perspective at different times in our life, right? So when I'm 4 years old and something happens, I see it from a different place than I see it when I'm 14, or I see it when I'm 24, I see it when I'm 44, I see it when I'm 62. So how I see that story when I'm small is the first thing that goes into that subconscious mind. And I can be basing decisions on my four-year-old's perception of something when I'm 24. And if I really looked at it from that point of view, to the 24-year-old, the 4-year-old's perspective makes no sense at all. But it's the 4-year-old that's
running the show.
Running the show.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. It's because that's the first story that went in. And it's the story that we made up with whatever our understanding was at that point in time. And so one of the really cool things with the repatterning technique is the ability to rewrite a story. And to find something in our world that's just, you know, maybe not quite resolved in the most adult way that we'd like it to be. And, you know, we have kind of cute expressions for it now. Put my big girl panties on, or, you know, put my big boy pants on and step up and be the adult that I want to be. Which is great if you can just pull yourself to that place. But sometimes, you know, trying to tell, like you're saying, that it's the three-year-old telling the story. So what would the story look like? And don't try to go from the three-year-old to the age that you are now. Maybe what would the story look like from, you know, the 15-year-old? And what would the story look like from the 25-year-old? And put yourself in that place and go, okay, so with that perspective, the story would be, because that lets you be observational. And when you can be observational,
when you're observational, then you're in a position where you're on the upside of the line and can make a choice. And you can see how there might have been a, you can see how it, the story formed, and you can see how it's not working for you anymore.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, that's the thing, is because it worked. It obviously worked when you were three, or you wouldn't have hung on to it. You would have, it would have got discarded out with the rest of the trash, but something worked somehow. And so, yeah. And, you know, we don't have to go back and find out exactly what happened when you were three. It's just the story.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if there's a story that we could do a rewrite on easily to help folks that are listening. I don't know. Do you have one, or do
I've
I
got
have one?
One?
Do you?
I've got
you,
one. On top of my it? Mind. I'm
okay.
Good with it.
Because I'm sitting here going, I'm trying to think of one, and that would have been a good idea to think of one before we got on air. But if you've got one top of mind, let's go for it.
So when I was young, my...
Okay, hang on. Let's agree on how long we're going to tell the story for. So how long do you think you need to tell the story?
No more than 2 minutes.
2 minutes? Okay, so let's go. I've got the timer on. I'm going to just set it on my phone here. Okay, so I've got it. Go.
When I was young, my mom was having some problems in her life, and I discovered that the best way to get my mom's attention was to be sick for 2 or 3 days, because then she would show up 100% for me as a kid. And when she showed up, that was the mom I wanted and the mom I remembered.
Oh, boy, we got some emotion on it.
Oh, yeah. And that wasn't a place she could be all the time. But she could be there for me.
When you were sick.
When I was sick.
So that's an interesting story. How's that playing out for you?
It doesn't work for me anymore, because in the relationships I'm in these days, when I get sick, the first thing that happens in many cases is, okay, well, what can we repattern around this?
Here's a hug first.
Here's a hug first, yeah. But what can we repattern around this? What... you know, is there a physical element to the sickness, is now what I ask myself, or is it emotional? Is it just my old story? I need attention somewhere. Well, if I need attention somewhere, how much attention am I paying to myself?
Yeah. Yeah. And how much attention are you giving yourself? And are you showing up as your own best mom? Are you showing up as your own best Brenda? Are you showing up?
Yeah.
You know, 'cause we all, you know, nobody had a perfect mom. I know that this is a shock for listeners. You're not the only one that didn't have a perfect mom. And if you're a mom, I hate to be the one to break it to you, don't shoot the messenger, but you're not a perfect mom for every child that you have all the time, 24/7, because none of us can be, because that's, you know, it's just the way it works.
And the other piece with this, not to complicate it, but I'm going to anyway, is that my mom was the perfect mom in so many ways, except when she was sick.
Ah, okay. So we've gone past the 2 minutes.
Okay,
but
done.
We also did a kind of diversion there. So okay. Is there anything more that you need to?
Ready to move forward.
Okay, so that's the story of, I don't know, what about the, how old your old, let's see how old, I'm just going to use muscle testing because Brenda's right here. Was it from before she was one? No, 1, 2, 3, 4-year-old. There you go, it's your 4-year-old. Yeah, it's your 4-year-old who wants mummy. And it's interesting that you say that because my mom passed away 6 months ago and I was pretty good, you know, most of the time with her being gone. She had Alzheimer's and so it was one of those, oh, you know, what a blessing kind of places. Mm-hmm. But then I got sick and I wanted my mummy. Like it was, like I was like thumb sucking little kid that wanted their mommy. And so it's a really deep, deep pattern for us. So let's find out what the emotion feels like there. Is it like a feeling of abandonment or need to be paid attention to, or what does it feel like? Can you speak to that a bit?
Abandon is the first word that comes to me, but I think attention is probably more true.
Yeah, and I'm just muscle testing into the book here that I've got, which is a big long listing, to see if we can find something that might be more helpful. So,
yeah, because that could just be a story that's those words.
Which is oftentimes what's helpful is that you know, we use the stories. Okay. The phrase that's coming up is feeling pissed off.
Okay. Well, yeah, you're pissed off when you have this wonderful, fabulous mom and she gets sick and she can't be the wonderful, fabulous mom anymore.
Yeah. Okay, so the opposite of pissed off, excuse the expression, but that's the word that came up. It's not pissed on. Okay, so what's the opposite of the feeling of being pissed off? Understanding or, I mean, it's not a place you could have gone to when you were 4, but as somebody who's slightly older than 4 now, what would be the opposite feeling? Compassion?
I was going to say, is it compassion?
I think it's compassion. It is compassion. So if anyone who's listening, if there's a place in your life that you're feeling, let's just say irritated. I don't, you know, I can't make this stuff up. But of course, that's when I muscle tested, that was the word that came up. There's a lot of words in that book. And of course, that's the one that comes up. Feeling pissed off. Okay, irritated. And moving to a place of compassion. And now, we can be compassionate for your mom, and that's probably a place that's pretty easy for you to go to because there's been a lot of time passed, and she was a pretty wonderful person. But I'm thinking that this is more about compassion for you. And Brenda's nodding her head, which doesn't translate very well on radio, but I'm going to tell you that that's exactly what she's doing. And so we're going to move from a place of feeling, well, just righteously annoyed, let's put it that way, to a place of compassion for ourselves. And then once we've got it for ourselves, then we're going to transfer it to another person. Okay. And so one of the things to just keep in mind with the repatterning technique is that yes, we start with forgiveness, but we don't forgive the rest of the planet for stuff that they've done. We forgive ourselves for believing that we need to hang on to that. So let's start there. I forgive myself for believing I need to hang on to that hurt that happened when I was 4.
I forgive myself for believing I need to hang on to that hurt that happened when I was 4.
Okay, breathe it in. You can feel the emotion coming up and might be able to hear it in her voice. And for folks that are listening, you can put whatever age it is. And if you don't know exactly, you can just say, when I was a kid. Okay, when I was a kid. I know that pissed off feeling. It doesn't support me.
I know that pissed off feeling. It doesn't support me.
And it wasn't my mom's intention.
It wasn't my mom's intention. And it's not me.
Okay, bring that in. And you'll notice that Brenda is changing things up a bit and adding some things. And that's really what you want to be doing with the repatterning technique. It's a guideline. I often say it's a bit like old craft dinner. You know, you've got the kind of basics there, but then you can add in extras to make it suit what your taste is, what you like. So we've done the forgiveness, which is acknowledging it. We've done permission. I'm going to do another permission statement because I could feel that and hear that you've just had, there's some juice on that one. So, and it might be the compassion's a bit bigger than, it might be a bit too big of a leap. We might need to,
we can get there.
We can get to compassion. You know, I was going to do an aside here. I hold a vision of a more compassionate world. You know, a more positive world, a kinder world, but a more compassionate world. And really, if we can be compassionate with ourselves and go, gosh, I'm cute when I'm human, instead of beating ourselves up for our foibles, you know, wasn't that interesting when I was learning that? And it just kind of stuck. Isn't my mind wonderful that it hangs on to things that are useful and I can let go of some of the things that aren't so useful? So I give myself permission. Let's go here. I give myself permission to be more compassionate with myself.
I give myself permission to be more compassionate with myself.
Oh, that feels kind of nice.
Feels rather yummy, actually.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, okay. When I get sick, it's probably because I'm a bit PO'd with myself.
When I get sick, it's probably because I'm a little put off with myself.
Yeah, bring that one in. If I'm PO'd with myself, what I really need is a loving hug of compassion.
If I'm really disappointed in myself, what I really need is a loving hug of compassion.
I give myself permission to give myself that loving hug of compassion like I would to a good friend.
I give myself permission to give myself that loving hug of compassion as if I were a good friend.
And let it go. Now, one of the things that I really value about having other practitioners on the call, Brenda, is your willingness to just step up and be. And this work is not about becoming perfect. This work is about becoming who you are. And that is perfect. There is no kind of external what is perfection place. And in fact, whenever we step into a bigger place of who we are, we find an even bigger place of who we are available to us. So I'm choosing compassion with myself.
I'm choosing compassion with myself.
Breathe it in and let it go. What's the monkey have to say about that? Anything?
The monkey said, that's kind of your natural way of being.
Ah, I choose to be who I really am, and that's compassionate.
I choose to be who I really am, and that's compassionate.
Okay.
And thanks, monkey, for being a coach.
Yeah, breathe it in. Okay, and you notice that I got you to the line. That really got you to the line, okay? I'm free to be as compassionate with myself as I am to someone or something that you're really compassionate with. Might be an animal, might be a child, might be a friend, might be who have you been really compassionate toward.
I choose to be as compassionate with myself as I'm being with my big boy cat, George.
Okay, breathe that in and let it go. Sometimes George can upset me.
Sometimes George gets really PO'd.
And I can be compassionate with him.
Go ahead. He's just trying to tell me that he's upset about something.
Yeah, breathe it in. When I get to that place, I'm just trying to tell myself I'm upset, and what I need is a big compassionate hug.
When I get to that place with myself, I'm just letting myself know that I'm PO'd. What I need is a big compassionate hug.
And breathe it in and let it go. I'm free to give myself that big compassionate hug as a normal way of being.
I'm free to give myself that big compassionate hug as a normal way of being.
The more compassionate I am with myself, the less PO'd I get.
The more compassionate I am with myself, the less disappointed I am in myself.
There you go. Breathe that in. I recognize I was disappointed when Mom was sick.
I recognize I was disappointed when Mom was sick.
I can be compassionate thinking about her now.
I can be compassionate thinking about that now.
Breathe that in. I didn't know how to do that when I was 4. That's why I didn't.
I had no idea how to do that when I was 4. That's why I didn't.
Okay, breathe that in. I can look at it and give myself a big hug around it now with compassion.
I can look at it and give myself a big hug around it right now.
Okay, breathe that one in.
I am a compassionate woman, and I'm learning to be more compassionate with myself.
I am a compassionate woman, and I'm learning to be more compassionate with myself.
Okay, and breathe out in there. Okay, how's your monkey doing?
My monkey's pointing out that as a four-year-old, when you're sick, it put my mom back on purpose.
Yeah.
That realization is the compassion.
Right. And then we do it to ourselves. I mean, you know, when we get sick, it's our opportunity to get ourselves back on track.
Yeah.
You know,
I just don't need to be sick to do it.
Exactly. And learning that you don't need to go to that place.
Exactly.
Yeah. I had some physical challenges earlier on in the summertime, and you know, it was interesting because I kept saying it really, people were saying, you know, what's the diagnosis? What's the prognosis? What's the synopsis? You know, like all those terms. And I said, you know, it really doesn't matter. What I need is lots of sleep, lots of cuddles, good people to be around, great music to listen to, clean air, clear water, organic food. Like the prescription for whatever's going on is the same. And you know, and above all else, I need to speak kindly to myself and not go into that fear place or that frustration place. And we can rewrite the stories that we're in as well. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break here, and I'm going to suggest that folks that are listening, think about a story that you could just change the energy on, like you heard Brenda do, and thank you so much for doing that. That was a very courageous and brave piece of repatterning to do. I don't know if either of us realized it was going to go that deep that quickly, but the nice part about repatterning is you can go that deep that quickly, and you come out of it, and you feel so good, well, and it doesn't take long.
And I'm grateful to you, and I'm grateful to my mom, and I'm grateful to the story, and I'm grateful to the audience for this opportunity. It's just what popped up when you said, who's got a story?
Yeah, great. So we're going to take a break now. You're listening to Flipping the Switch. I'm Suze Casey. I'm here with Brenda Holden, who's one of our practitioners, and you can find out more about Brenda by going to thebeliefrepatterning.com. That's BELIEF. R-E, the word pattern, PATTERNING.com, going to the Belief Repatterning website, going under our practitioners, and you'll find Brenda pretty close to the top of the list because I think it's alphabetically by first name.
By first name.
So we'll be back in a couple of minutes. You're listening to Contact Talk Radio. I'm Suze Casey. See you in a few. That's not bad, ending on 22-22.
Oh, that number is quite amazing, actually.
Sorry to get all emotional on you.
No, not. But, I mean, I think it's a good demonstration of how little emotion.
So we've got this. Try this on practice.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what else do we want to say about story?
Where the why fits in.
Sorry.
How why takes us one way or another with the story.
Could do.
You know, if we found the why on the positive side of the line and it moved us very quickly.
What else about story?
Well, we've asked them to think of a story for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So if we've asked them to think of a story for themselves.
So I've got a story that you're in the moment. How do you want it to turn out? We'll wait and see.
Yeah. And then focusing on what's good.
And the other thing, yeah, I already didn't do that. Okay. All right. And three.
And then into the workshop.
Yeah. And three, two, one, we're back. Hi, I'm Suze Casey, and you are listening to Contact Talk Radio. I am here with Brenda Holden, who's one of the Belief Repatterning practitioners, and today we're talking about what is it about the story. And before the break, you saw how powerful story can be. You know, story that Brenda started with, and boom, it just put her right into a really deep, deep emotional space, but the repatterning technique allowed her to move through it to the other side, get observational, have new awarenesses, and feel, how are you feeling now?
Relieved.
And that relief on the other side of that relief is?
The other side of that relief is, I am so glad that I got to the depths of this instead of dancing around it.
On the edges and skimming the surface. Yeah. Your skin is clearer. Like, you know, your cheeks have got some color. Yeah. And it is. It's really fun when we watch people repattern, because you can really see the shift that happens. We are amazing creatures. You know, and oftentimes people say it takes a long time to change a belief. And it's like, no, it actually doesn't. It can flip quite quickly.
Yeah, there's a peace in my heart that wasn't there before.
A
P-E-A-C-E in my heart.
Wasn't there before. I wanted to make sure that we weren't, like, literally doing a heart transplant here or something.
But in a way it is, because it also makes your heart bigger. Because your heart's fuller when you're in a place of compassion. Especially compassion for yourself, because you've taken yourself and put yourself in your own heart.
Yeah. Look at you just beaming and glowing and jumping up and down. How fun is this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, repatterning is a really... We do it individually. The work is, you know, very individual and individualistic. When I wrote the book, I did the best I could to give sort of a whole bunch of broad context and suggestions and opportunities for people to tie in. And the noise that you're going to hear right now is pouring water. And I'm just going to remind you that you want to make sure that you keep yourself hydrated when you're repatterning. You need that. I just want to make sure that you knew that that's what the sound effects were in the background. I don't want anybody to think we're going to the bathroom on air. But that's what it sounds like.
We're repatterning.
That's what it sounds like sometimes when we do water there. The whole point of the repatterning is to be able to take that emotion and move yourself to the line and move yourself over the line, becoming observational. And when we're in story, sometimes we're too focused on keeping the story the same and retelling the story. And I don't know about you, Brenda, but when I retell a story that has me in, well, let's just call it a victim place, you know, the kind of story that I walk to school 7 miles each way, uphill both directions in the pouring rain and snow drifts. And, you know, we embellish it because we're storytellers. And so, you know, do you have some suggestions for the folks that are listening that when they have friends going to that place, is there some other thing? We talked at the beginning of the show, we talked about, you know, you shared this with me and what happened next. And you do that in a really loving way, not, I've already heard this, you know, get on with it. But it's like, you've already shared that with me, and I've heard that piece, and I'm curious what's next. Was it, you use the curious word.
Yeah.
That's a great one. Another one we talked about was, you know, setting a timer. But that has to be an agreement that's made ahead of time. You can't have somebody in the throes of upset and going, okay, I'm giving you 3 minutes on the clock, go. That needs to be a negotiated thing.
Up front, yeah.
And try it with yourself first, right? Is there any other ways that when people are winding into a story that you've discovered that are helpful to move them forward?
I find that it can be helpful depending on who the person is and watching where they're on the process. Sometimes you just have to listen until they wind down.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch for when they start to tell the story a second or a third time. And in customer service, we were always taught that sometimes they've got to get it out 3 times before they can even hear that there's a possible solution.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of want to watch and listen and energetically feel into where somebody is in the story. And as soon as I see that opening, to open the door to, okay, I understand you feel that way. Can you see any light? Can you see any way to possibly move yourself to feeling or seeing it from a different way?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the timing on that's super important.
Yeah, the timing's really, really important. And sometimes you just have to say to them, you know, right now, the best thing we can do is take a break.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And if they can't even hear that, it's like, you know, I need to take a break for me right now. I need to go I'm going to go to the washroom. Mm-hmm. I'll be back in a minute, because that breaking that energetic spin out, mm-hmm. because of the craziness of the story, or because the, well, why me, or why this, or when you're on that side of the line where you're in that space, you need something energetically to break it.
Mm-hmm. Or yeah, to shift it up.
Yeah, and then you can see that you can shift it up.
Mm-hmm. I remember a relationship that I was in, and I used to remove myself from the situation just to get to shift the energy up. And what I discovered is that it fed their abandonment stuff.
Oh.
And, you know, so I was doing something that I thought was a really healthy thing. It was a, you know, a partner that I was in intimate partnership with. And I thought that I was doing something healthy. And what it was doing was putting fuel in the fire. And so what I learned, and you know, I think this goes for anything, is just negotiate something when you're in a neutral or above the line place. And so what I did was, we had a conversation about that. And I said, you know, when I'm doing this, I don't know what's going on for you, but what I'm doing is, I'm a, you know, I don't want to come from a place of saying something that I'm going to regret later. And when I feel myself getting there, I want to remove myself so that I can get back to me. And it's not about leaving you alone. It's about me getting myself back and finding my footing. And so I often used to go for a walk. Well, that would just like completely, like, you know, was I coming back? You know, and again, when we talk about the two-year-old story, this was not the intelligent man that I was most of the time living with. It was the little kid that had been abandoned and hurt at some point in time and really needed attention and, you know, had some challenges with attention deficit disorder, and that had magnified as an adult. And when I realized that, I was like, oh, I had so much compassion, because it was like, I am not abandoning you. I'm just trying to find me. Like, and I mean, it might even be as simple as I would leave the conversation and open up the fridge door and look in the fridge and just kind of be there a little bit longer than I needed to be to find whatever it was I was looking for, to just give myself that space. And so when we had the conversation and said, you know, I'm trying to find me, I learned that what I needed to say then at those times is, I need to go find me. This is where I'm going. So I'm going downstairs. I'm going up to the patio. I'm going to have a bath. I will be back in 10 minutes, 5 minutes, half hour, 2 hours. Does that work for you? And that became our code. Does that work for you? You know, and if it was like, no, I really need you to hear this, it's like, okay. And we had another agreement that you could have another 5 minutes after I said I needed to remove myself, because it was like, okay, you've got more than one person here. You have to acknowledge each person's needs. And getting the stories out, so that then you have that break, then you can breathe, and then you can get observational on it. So yeah. That's a great strategy. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that one. Yeah. Anything that you want to add in on that before we kind of shift to another topic here?
I guess this might sort of shift us to a wrong topic, but if people are wondering how to sometimes get a conversation going around those stories that are
limited.
Formed when we were kids and limit us, and that we want to open doors to it, look at the things in your life you don't like doing.
Oh.
And then find a way to have some compassion with yourself and get a friend to help you with that activity. And while you're doing it, have a conversation. And my fun story on that one is, one of the things that I don't like doing, part of it has to do with, I don't like getting gucky, greasy hands. Gee whiz, I could wear gloves, is doing dishes. So dishes could pile up on me. And several times my partner took compassion on me and did my dishes, because his love language is acts of service. And I really, really appreciated it. But it did nothing to solve my recreate the problem situation. Right. So when I kept recreating it, I got home from a trip. Actually, it was a trip you and I were on, and my dirty dishes from before I left were sitting on the counter, and he looked at me and he said, come on, I'll help you. Let's do the dishes. And the conversation that we got to after 15 years of partnership about what doing the dishes was for us when we were kids, and how it played in our parents and how I played with our brothers and sisters, just it it brought to our lives through those stories some things we could laugh about, some sources of in my case, guilt, in his case, taking on responsibility really, really early, that it just gave us some breathing room around it.
Yeah. And, you know, when you mentioned that, like, I've never thought about my story around doing dishes, but my brother used to take the tea towel and dip it in the corner of the water and then twist it up and then flick it and hit me on the butt or the side of my leg or something. And, you know, no wonder I don't like doing dishes either. But there's the story. Now I can use that as the poor me excuse story, or I can repattern it. So let's do a quick repattern on that. The feeling of it is like being beat up. And the opposite would be supportive. Okay. So.
I forgive myself for believing that I need to hold on to my feelings of being beat up.
I forgive myself for believing that I need to beat myself up in absence of him there. That's what
good job. There's the compassion piece coming back.
That's the inner coach. Yeah. Okay.
I give myself permission to be supportive of myself.
I give myself permission to be supportive of myself. That's what I really want.
I know what it feels like to beat myself up, and I know what it feels like to be supportive of myself.
I know what it feels like to beat myself up, and quite frankly, I'm tired of it. You know, and there's nothing to say you can't laugh when you're repatterning. Like, it's like, when I said, wow, I had not thought about that for years, but when you talked about the dishes, it was like,
there was the story.
Boom, the story showed up in my mind, and I didn't even realize it was there. So I know the feeling of beaten up, and I'm really tired. I was tired of it when I was 8. I'm really tired of it at 58 almost. And I know what it feels like to be supportive, and who I am is supportive.
Of who?
Me.
Yeah.
And others.
And others.
But me. And I'm choosing to be supportive of myself.
I'm really good at supporting other people.
I'm really good at supporting other people.
I'm choosing to give that gift to myself now.
I'm choosing to up my ability to be supportive of myself. I'm not sure that up my ability is actually technically a verb, but I think we all know what it means. Get better at it.
I think it depends on how it feels in your body. If the language isn't correct, English teachers, you're not marking us. It's how it feels when we say it, because that's what takes it into our bodies.
And that's really the whole thing with the repatterning. And I know I'm mindful that we're just at the choice stage. We still have freedom, affirmation, and surrender to go. But I think the thing to keep in mind with the repatterning is you can't do it wrong. You know, if it's shifting your energy into a better place, you're doing it right. And, you know, is there more right ways of doing it? No, there's maybe more effective. There's maybe quicker. And, you know, we're going to talk in a minute here and offer you something that's going to help you get to this place a lot more quickly than you are just from listening here. But let's go back, finish up the statements for sort of freedom.
So I am free to be compassionate with myself.
We were at supportive.
I am free to be supportive with myself.
That's
the compassionate thing to do.
And we can tie that together because that's the one we did earlier. So repatterning often comes in little kind of sections like this that all tie together. So I am free to be supportive of myself. That is the compassionate thing to do. And my monkey just said, and you are a compassionate and supportive person. So I was compassionate and supportive of myself when I gifted myself those weeks to gather myself and my family together again. I was compassionate and supportive of myself when I went to bed early the other night. I was compassionate and supportive of myself when we had that awesome, healthy lunch today. Yeah, I am, and I'm just leading myself through here now. I am compassionate and supportive, and I'm increasing that. And so the story that I often tell myself is it's not that you're in a deficit of it. It's not that you're bad at it. It's maybe that you were in like grade 7 with it and you want to move to grade 8. Like, it's just a progression. Or maybe you've got a master's degree in it and now you're ready for a PhD. Or maybe you got a PhD and you want a second one.
You know, you want to become so proficient at it. And I've made a decision to become really proficient with compassion, support, love. That's what I'm on about. That's purposeful for me in this lifetime. And I think that's really all any of us really, really want. Yeah.
There's a high five.
I just got a high five for that one. So, Brenda, you have been supporting and being really supportive and compassionate of me in bringing together the new program of teaching that we're doing with this. So the book is out, the radio show's here. There's lots of resources for people to use. But one of the things that I've discovered is that you can only go so far on your own. So when you read a book on how to cut hair, you can cut hair, but if you watch somebody who's really good at it and you get tips from them, you get better at it. So do you want to talk a little bit about the Critic to Coach program that we're offering?
So the Critic to Coach program is where you, as you listened and heard in this repatterning, you learn to move from one side of the line to the other so that you are making your choices from a different place. And my story was in the pit. When we were laughing about it and starting the story from the positive side of the line, we went another piece, and we can actually create our lives from that positive side of the line. And one of the ways to find out more about this and how to do it for yourself and others is to come to the Inner Critic to Inner Coach workshop, which is going to be live here in Calgary on September 15th. Or for those of you who can't be in Calgary for our 2.5-hour evening, which is from 7 to 9:30 p.m., you will have the opportunity to do it online on Tuesday, September 22nd. And on the 29th. If you'd like the details about that, it's from 6 to 7:15 Mountain Time at night. So for that one, please send us an email to office@beliefrepatterning.com. And in that subject line, please put Critic to Coach. And we'll get you the information so you have the opportunity to register online. And that one's 2-hour and 15-minute evenings, so that it's easier for you to do it than the one line sitting when you're listening online. Is 2.5 hours is a big chunk. So we've broken that up. And for anyone who's interested in coming on September 15th to the live presentation here in Calgary, you would go to www.critic, that's C-R-I-T-I-C, coach, coach.ca. So that's www.critictocoach.ca. And there you can register for the night. And Suze, I'm going to let them tell you the irresistible part of the night.
Well, the irresistible part of this is that I have said for the last, 15 or 20 years, that my goal was to get to a place in my business, in my life, in my lifestyle, where I could actually offer this work complimentary to people who really wanted it. And I'm in that place right now. And so we did one a couple nights ago here in Calgary, which was really exciting. We've done one in Invermere last month. We did one on the island in British Columbia in July. And we did one in Kananaskis at the end of July, early August, and just offering this, and it's what I'm doing this fall. I'm not sure that I'm going to be doing it for a whole lot of time, but this fall I decided that I'm looking for people who really want to be that positive influence in the world, that want to make the world a different place just by showing up as who they really are. And, you know, it was interesting. Got some feedback the other day from someone, and they'd been around us for a whole weekend at one of the folk festivals. When I say us, my partner Phil and I, and they came up just the next weekend when they saw us, and they said, "We were just talking about how every time we saw the two of you, you were always smiling. Didn't matter what was happening, didn't matter how late in the day it was, didn't matter how early it was, you were always smiling, and what a joy it was to see you always, like, how do you do that?" Well, basically, we've trained ourselves to have our mind be on the upside most of the time. Doesn't mean that we don't get tired or hungry or upset, but for the most part, life's pretty happy and good. And it's just a matter of training your mind to go to that upside. And one of the ways is by learning how to retell your stories and rewrite your stories to a place that works for where you are right now. So The online webinar, complimentary. Listeners of Contact Talk Radio, you're the ones finding out about it. I'm not advertising the online one at this point anywhere else. We do have limited seats available, limited lines available for it. It will be done by webinar or telephone. So you can either be on your computer or telephone, whichever works best for you. And that one, it's limited by the number of lines we can have in. I'm not exactly sure what the technology limits us to, but I know that it does fill. And will I do another one? I don't know. But we're for sure doing one on September the 22nd and 29th from 6 to 7:15 Mountain Time. If you're in Eastern, it is 8 to 9:15. If you're Pacific, it's 5 to 6:15. And our intention is to record it so that if you do sign up for it, you'll be able to, when you do sign up for it, you'll be able to re-listen to it. If you are in the Calgary area and can join us live, September the 15th from 7 till 9:30, and go to, as Brenda told you, critic2coach.ca, and you'll be able to do that online. I really appreciate you coming in today and having a chat. It's been really fun doing a couple shows with you this month. Thank you so much, and thank you for all of your compassionate support of the new program and where we're taking belief repatterning to a lot more people. If you've already taken Flip and you want to know what the next step is, we don't have anything on the website about that. Just send a note to us, and we'll let you know what the next, what's coming up after that. There is more fun and surprises coming. You've been listening to Flipping the Switch, and my name's Suze Casey. Brenda, thanks so much for being with us. We will talk to you next week. We'll be back live next week, so you can phone in with your questions, your comments, and the things that have been working really well for you. Meanwhile, remember, every opportunity is an opportunity to positively influence someone in some way. Take care. Here's a big hug. Talk to you soon. Bye for now.
The 2020 Mazda CX-9 is designed to elevate every moment with a sophisticated SUV experience. Stunningly crafted with three-row seating, including second-row captain's chairs. Book a test drive at Mazda.ca. The 2020 Mazda CX-9 is designed to elevate every moment with a sophisticated SUV experience. Stunningly crafted with three-row seating, including second-row captain's chairs. Book a test drive at Mazda.ca.